8:47, Science and Tech Time with Mark Zastrow, science journalist here. Good morning.
Good morning, Alex.
In a minute, we're going to look at how a kid's case suing the US government for climate change inaction has passed a key hurdle. But first, after 9 years of planet hunting, NASA has retired the Kepler Space Telescope.
That's right. Last week, NASA announced that the Kepler missions, the Kepler spacecraft's mission is now officially at an end because it has run out of the fuel that it uses to maneuver in space. Of course, you know, we've talked about its discoveries of exoplanets many times on this show, but now its mission is over. It completed a final download of all of its data, and now NASA will let it rest in its orbit around the sun. So it's a bittersweet moment for certainly the scientists who worked on it, also for anyone who was really, you know, excited and was thrilled to read about these discoveries. But we did know that this was coming. NASA had been getting low fuel warnings coming from the spacecraft starting earlier this summer. And really, the mission has lasted, or the spacecraft has lasted, longer than it was ever intended to. The design lifespan was only for 4 years. After those 4 years, it was still running, had some wear and tear, but NASA figured out a way to restart it and keep it going. So it leaves a vast legacy behind of scientific discoveries and data.
But like us, it's just now spinning in perpetuum.
That's
around
right.
The sun. Can we go so far as to say it's joined the space junk? Or, I mean, will it be fairly safe?
Well, it is fairly safe, yes. It's not orbiting Earth, it's actually orbiting the sun. It's trailing the Earth in its orbit around the sun. So it'll be there pretty much for, you know, eternity.
Well, let's talk about the legacy then, apart from that. Because what Kepler accomplished was remarkable, nothing less than really a change of our perception of our place in the universe.
You're absolutely right. I mean, when this mission was launched in March 2009, We really knew of only about 30 exoplanets, or, you know, planets around other stars. Of course, we've imagined that there could be planets around other stars for centuries and millennia, even. You know, we've been searching for these exoplanets for decades, but they were so hard to detect that we could only find really, really big ones. All of the ones that we knew at that time, 10 years ago, they were more massive than Saturn. They were gas giants. So we frankly didn't even know if other Earths existed. But now, thanks to Kepler, we know of over 3,000 exoplanets, and hundreds of them are small and rocky planets like Earth. Some of them even have the right temperature to support liquid water, and we think possibly life on their surfaces. And of course, just the, you know, the, I think the impact that's had on pop culture, our place, our sense of place and knowing where we are in the universe.
Feeding speculation of alien life.
Absolutely, sure. Or even, you know, think of like EXO, the band, right? Named after exoplanets. Kepler has had a huge impact on the public consciousness around the world, I think. The other thing scientifically is that Kepler has really opened our eyes to the diversity of solar systems that exist in the galaxy. Because it turns out our solar system actually might be an outlier. The most common type of planet that Kepler found doesn't even exist in our solar system. They're called super-Earths. So they're rocky like Earth, but they're a few times more massive than Earth. And their surface gravity, the gravity on their surface, is several times stronger than Earth. So if you think about, you know, these could support life, but what would that life look like in a much higher gravity field? You know, it would be much more constrained. Maybe
it would be like walking around on powerful magnets.
Exactly, yeah.
Well, full disclosure, you're not entirely a disinterested party here, because Kepler has been close to your heart.
This is true. Actually, Kepler, the satellite, was launched right before I graduated from college, and it really was what inspired me to go to graduate school in astronomy. I wanted to work on Kepler data, and, you know, a lot of people my age graduating around the same time did too. We wanted to find planets. And I did eventually work on Kepler data, not discovering Earth-like planets, but looking at other planets in the data. I never finished my degree, though, of course, as you can tell. The reason I'm here is because I became a journalist instead. But it also inspired me, you know, in some of my first efforts in journalism too. One of my my very first experiences was actually helping a Korean translator for National Geographic on a story about Kepler's launch in 2009.
Well, here's betting Mark Zastrow's mini-me one day has a middle name of Kepler. Or perhaps you already have a pet by that name or something along those lines.
Yeah, that's probably more likely.
Now, the U.S. Supreme Court has allowed a landmark lawsuit to proceed in which 21 young Americans are suing the U.S. government for its inaction on climate change.
That's right. This is a really interesting, potentially highly consequential case. It's been brought forward by 21 plaintiffs who are represented by an advocacy organization called Our Children's Trust. And as that name suggests, all of those plaintiffs are young people. They're 22 years old or younger. And they're suing the U.S. federal government for its longstanding policies that have contributed to climate change. Now, the Justice Department has repeatedly tried to halt this lawsuit, beginning under Barack Obama's administration and continuing under Donald Trump's. But
that's just a distinction we should quickly pause on. Because
sure.
When we hear something like this, that the automatic presumption is that, this is all started under Trump, the kind of backlash. But actually,
right. Well, this
is already begun.
Right. Well, it's a case brought against the U.S. government. So the Justice Department, it's its job to represent the U.S. government in this case. So, yes, that began under the Obama administration. But it has continued and intensified even under the Trump administration. On Friday, the U.S. Supreme Court, though, denied the Trump administration's request to halt the lawsuit, which means this case could then potentially go to trial. It was a key procedural victory for them. It's not quite over yet, because the Supreme Court noted that the government could still ask for the case to be thrown out by a lower appeals court. So some of these novel legal claims here could be put to the test before they actually see trial.
We said 21 young Americans, but it's Giuliana versus the United States.
That's the name of the case. Yeah.
Who's Giuliana?
That's Kelsey Giuliana. So she's one of the plaintiffs. All of the plaintiffs, they were teenagers when the case was initially filed in 2015. I guess, of course, the logic being that children will be most impacted by climate change over the course of their life, and so therefore they would have the most standing to sue. So they argue that the U.S. government has deprived them of, quote, a climate system capable of sustaining human life. The U.S. government, on the contrary, claims that no such constitutional right exists to a climate system that could do that. The plaintiffs are also seeking for the U.S. government to formulate policies to lower the levels of carbon dioxide to 350 parts per million, down from its current levels of over 400. That would be by the year 2100. So they actually have policy goals that they are seeking here. The U.S. government argues that the courts and these plaintiffs have no business telling the Congress and president what to do in terms of energy policy. So if the government takes this case up in an appeals court to have it thrown out, these are the questions that could come up.
There may not be a precedent in the U.S., but around the world, we can look at past examples to maybe guide us.
Yes, absolutely. This case is really part of a trend that started in the 1980s with cases being brought forward in national courts against their own governments. And in a few cases, those have succeeded, and those governments have been found liable for their climate policies. The most well-known one is a case in the Netherlands in which a group called the Urgenda Foundation won a case in 2015. They claimed that the Netherlands government, they were violating their rights to life and health in the European Convention of Human Rights. And that verdict was actually upheld on appeal last month. Of course, the U.S. is a much bigger emitter of carbon, so a victory here would have greater consequences.
Mark, thank you very much.
Thank you, Alex.